I was a torchbearer for the Olympic flame, and I had it in my hot little hand, and I wanted to show solidarity with the people of Tibet, and so I pulled out a little flag of Tibet.
Oh.
Carrying it, and then I was sort of, it was grabbed out of my hand by the Chinese security team that was guarding the torch, definitely not guarding any person there. They were guarding the torch, but nobody would understand that. So they took it out, and then I was pushed to the side of the crowd by the San Francisco Police Department.
Really? So even though you were carrying the torch, the San Francisco police basically dumped you?
Oh, pretty much, yeah.
Obviously, everything that happened very quickly, but you took the flag out of your pocket? Or?
It was in my sleeve.
It was in your sleeve. This is a scene out of a movie. I love it.
Yeah. That's all.
And what was the selection process that led you to end up being a torchbearer?
I was invited by Coca-Cola. I didn't ask to be a torchbearer.
Oh, I'm sure they love you now.
No. We were really clear with Coca-Cola, you know, as to who they were dealing with. And as a matter of fact, in the first minute of the conversation, you know, staff at Sustainable South Bronx talked to them and said, you do know that Majora is actually working, you know, to help resolve the obesity epidemic, you know, in her community and communities like it, and that products such as Coca-Cola, with all their dependence on high fructose corn syrup, actually exacerbates it. So there's no love there, you know, with regard to that. And you also know that Majora has spoken quite openly about the issues around China's environmental, really bad environmental track record. I mean, they are building two coal-fired power plants each and every week, granted to support, you know, the United States, you know, hyper-consumption, but still, it's happening. And so, and that comes at a great problem to the global environment. And, of course, the fact that so many manufacturing jobs in the States have gone overseas is also fairly problematic, and it's a dwindle, you know, the job base that's here right now. And, of course, that has as much to do with American, you know, trade as it does with Chinese. But still, it's like he's pretty vocal about this. And they said they wanted to open up, you know, some lines of dialogue. And I thought, great. We can work with that.
Well, let me remind our listeners that we're talking with Majora Carter, an environmental activist, a founder of important community-based organizations here in New York City in the South Bronx, and someone who's been recognized for her leadership in this area by many folks. So tell us a little bit more about what was the crowd reaction when you pulled out this flag, and what were the crowds like before when you started doing the run?
Oh, it was so ridiculous. They had changed the route. The mayor of San Francisco got on our bus and said they were changing it to like some side street, which actually is a big street here called Van Ness, but it was supposed to be along the Embarcadero. So, you know, people's family, you know, that was on the route, you know, didn't matter. And then, of course, there were lots of, you know, protesters as well, you know, along the original route. And, you know, they said it was for our own personal safety, but, you know, they didn't want to allow cell phones, you know, on the buses. So it felt like we were in the middle of a media blackout, actually, to tell you the truth. So we didn't know what was going on, you know, on the original route at all.
Let me ask you this. As we look at China today, both with the situation that's coming to the fore with the Tibetan unrest, and as we look at the long history that you referenced of China's environmental issues and challenges to the rest of the world and its human rights issues in general, what is the sort of approach that you believe that African Americans in this country should be taking towards China? I mean, after all, it's one of the biggest producers of low-cost items for consumption. It is a nation that really is integrally related with our lives here in America. So what sort of advice do you give to the rest of us in America about how to approach Chinese products and China in general?
I mean, you got to, you know, look at the, I mean, believe me, nobody's trying to stop China from being part of the global economy, but I think we need to recognize, you know, what those cheap products that we're buying, what are the real costs of them? You know, if we're outsourcing, you know, many jobs and industries that weren't once done here, which was often the entryway for so many people, you know, in America, you know, into the middle class, which actually like helped close the gap between rich and poor. We recognize that so many of those jobs are going out of there because of trade policies between the U.S. and China, which do not benefit either, you know, people on the ground in China, and certainly not, you know, the poor and the dwindling middle class here. You know, if we really took that into consideration, with also, and then you couple that with the fact that so many of China's or lack of environmental regulations have as much to do, with climate change right now. And if you look at how that, the cost of rising sea levels and also, higher temperatures, what that is actually meaning also on the poor who spend way more money, on their heating bills and on their energy bills in general than anybody else does. I mean, again, you would think twice about whether or not all the products you see in a 99-cent store are really worth it.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about today? I mean, how did you feel today while all this was going on, and how do you feel now?
Well, we just got back from we went to what we thought was going to be the parade route.
Majora,
I know that I'm on a cell phone, so
you're
it's
breaking
TV.
Up. Yeah,
but there were so Tibetan nationals at that event, and all they could do was just thank me for standing with their country and showing that kind of love and support. And it was really unbelievable to know that little act that I did, and it didn't, it was a little act. I mean, it wasn't like, the global community saying to China, get the hell out of Tibet. It wasn't anything like that. But just the fact that they were so eager for the encouragement, for the inspiration, for folks to show that they're standing with them. I mean, these are people's lives. I mean, the monks that were protesting yesterday, we know that they're being tortured, probably as we speak right now. I mean, this is real. And I would like to think that folks would do that, around the world for anybody, any country that needs that kind of support in order to actually expect and demand the freedom that they so rightfully deserve.
So since China is placing so much stock in the Olympics as an image builder, should we be boycotting the Olympics?
No, I don't think we should be boycotting the Olympics at all. Why would you want to do that to the athletes? However, what we don't need to be doing is running the torch through Tibet, mm-hmm. which is what they want to do.
They're
calling it mainland China, but it's Tibet. And the point is, it would be kind of like if, during the march on Washington, the federal government approved that the Ku Klux Klan should also march right along with us. It would really have created the kind of, even if you want to be totally peaceful and nonviolent, it's going to raise the level, of just, it's just going to be bad. And I think there will be blood, on all of our hands to decide that we're not going to, if we're going to just stand idly by and just say, yes, you can let it to because it's all about the Olympics and, it's not such a big deal that monks should just chill out. No, this is their country, and we need to act like that and expect that and demand that for them when somebody's way bigger than they are not acting.
Thank you so much for being with us, Majora.
All right, honey. Take care.
You are listening to Black Politics with Chris Owens right here on Air America Radio.